Today's the very first Sunday of a brand new year, as we count it here in the Western world. And I've got a couple of things I want to say to you before we dive in the Word. On this very first Sunday of a brand new year, tonight at 5 p.m., we're going to be introducing new people into Capstone. So if you're here and you've never been through the new members orientation, Capstone Connections, it's not too late to sign up. We'll have child care for your children. We'll feed them. We'll feed you, okay? And then we're going to minister to you and answer all your questions you may have about Capstone, get you settled on a pathway to growth and ministry. So tonight, 5 p.m., we'll have you out no later than 8 p.m. sharp, okay? 5 to 8 p.m., sign up tonight if you would. Right after church today, we're also having our outreach luncheon. All right, if you are interested in being a part of any outreach this year, homebound, nursing home, Union Gospel Mission, our new outreach to homeless, today is the day that you'll want to take some time to go back and meet those leaders and become a part of that, okay? Does anybody know what room that's in? How much? 207. We don't have a 107. But you know, that was a good guess, Bill. 207. All right after church. I've been so thankful for the pathway that God has taken us on since I've been pastor of this church. I want to publicly say that all the hard times we've been through, all the grace that we've experienced, all the victory that has come, has all been because of one thing and one thing only, and that's because of Jesus. I want to publicly give him praise for what he has done through this body of Christ. We have been ministering and living our life corporately out of basically the Great Commandment and the Great Commission now for many years. And we're not going to stop that. I mean, those things haven't disappeared from the Bible. But what I'm trying to say is recently God's been stirring in my heart a refinement of the vision. As a church moves forward and goes into different seasons, sometimes it's time for refinement. And today I want to introduce you to this vision and mission for Capstone, the vision and mission going forward that God has given for us as a church. I want to introduce that to you today. I've already introduced that to the men of this house, and now I want to introduce it to everyone. All right? So that's the purpose today, is to share vision and mission, because it is out of our vision and out of our mission that we are going to do all of our ministry. All of the ministry that God's going to do out of this house is going to come out of the foundation and bedrock of the vision that God has given us and the mission that God has given us. The first thing I want to share with you is the vision. The Lord spoke to me a while back and told me that he wanted me to change and refined our vision statement to this. And that Capstone's vision, the vision that God has given us, the reason that we exist as a church body, the reason that God has called us together as a corporate group, is very simply from a bottom line to present Jesus. Now, some of you don't know a whole lot about the background and the foundation and the root that I came from spiritually, that Pastor Bob and I and Pastor Roy and I, and there are others in this room, share a common spiritual root. We were we all served together in the same church. And at that church, during that period of time, there was a word that was going around. As a matter of fact, that church put it on billboards around the city, and I've been toying about the idea of doing this because we've never advertised, ever. And I don't want to advertise for us, but I want to advertise for Jesus. But around the city on billboards, and this became something that people talked about all over the city when they saw these billboards. Some people liked the billboards, some people didn't like the billboards. And actually, they did a in the newspaper in Dallas, in the morning news or one of those papers, is one now, but Times Herald, whatever it was back then, they did a survey of the 10 best billboards of the year in the Dallas area, and the one from the church made it. And the billboard very simply said, Pastor Larry Lee and Capstone Church present Jesus. And Church on the Rock, what'd I say, Capstone? Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, I don't know. Pastor Larry Lee and Church on the Rock present Jesus. Now, like I said, that sounds so simple, but that billboard shook a little bit that area. People would call, and they'd call the church office and say, who are you? Who do you think you are to say that you're presenting Jesus? Well, what is the Church of Jesus Christ supposed to present? He is the head. We're just the part that follows along with the head. And so what we want more than anything, is for people to be able to come in contact with Jesus Christ of Nazareth when they're around us as a corporate body, when they're around you as an individual. That is our goal. That is our heartbeat. That is the thing that we pray for and seek God for. I don't care if they remember the name of the church when they come in here and they leave, but I do want them to be able to say, I felt Jesus in that place. That's what I want to be able for them to say. I want them to be able to say when they come in contact with you, I don't know if I agree with everything they're saying, but there's something different about them, and the difference is explained only through the presence of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I know this is not a news flash to you, but the world we live in out there is in a desperate search for meaning and purpose. They want to know why they live. And they're looking all over for reasons. And most people don't know why they're here on the earth. They really don't. They model their lives after advertisements. They model it after things they see on social media. They hear philosophies, and they model their life after philosophies, in hope that in those things, they're going to find what they're seeking. The problem is in many of those things, God is not involved. He is not a part of that. And a life without God leads to an eternity without God. And people in need of God, you know what they do? They move the heart of God, and they always have. Moved Him to come and send His Son come and die on the cross of Calvary. Still, people in need of God are still moving the heart of God. I guess the question is it moving your heart? Because people in need of Him still move His heart, and He's still reaching out to people. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the answer to humanity's need. And Capstone Church exists because of that truth. Philip, in John chapter 14, verse 8, he articulated the need to know God by saying this. He said these words to Jesus. He said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. The Father begets identity. And he said, show us the Father. Let us see the Father, the one from which we came, the one who birthed us, and that'll be enough. That will answer the questions of our life. And Jesus answered back in verse 9. He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Capstone Church, brothers and sisters, exist out of the call to present Jesus to a hurting world. And our understanding of this call governs what we do and how we act and the decisions that we make. We understand the world doesn't need another organization. I'm not necessarily against organizations, but the world doesn't really need another one, even though many of those do good things. The world needs to get in contact with Jesus. They need to see Jesus. They need to encounter Jesus. They need to know Him. He's the answer for the present and the future. And as part of the church, each one of us are going to flow in that vision. If God's adding you to the church, that's going to be the vision that He's adding you to. And this vision is going to determine our attitudes. It's going to determine our actions. And it's going to determine our motives. Now, our promise, my promise to you, is that whatever decisions are made around here, the elders, pastors are going to be made regarding that vision, are going to be made with that vision in mind. That at the forefront of everything we do, the presentation and the revelation of Jesus should be the center and the foremost thing of everything we do. If it presents Jesus, then it's got an opportunity to be prayed over here. If it doesn't, then we don't need it. There's a difference between a good idea and a God idea, and it's more than just one O. We need things that are God ideas, and that's what we're praying for. We know that we're not the only representative of Jesus in this community, and I thank God for that. I know there's a lot of churches that want to be the only church in the city. I don't want to be. That's a lot of work. But we're part of a large, wonderful body of Christ. It's beautiful. But our part, and even though we're just a part, our part's to be taken seriously, brothers and sisters. And we humbly accept our part with Jesus as our head. Now let's look at Colossians 1:18 in the New Living Testament. Parkey is the head of the church. The elders are the head of the church. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. It's his. The Lord told me a long time ago, he said, none of these sheep belong to you. He said, when they leave or they hurt you, you have no right to burn bridges. He said, they're my sheep. I will take them and lead them wherever I want them to go, and you will flow with that vision if you want to walk with me. The answer when God says something like that is only, yes, sir. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, the supreme, over all who rise from the dead. So he is what in everything? First, central. He's the engine. He's the originator. He's the power. He's the inspiration. He's everything. And if Jesus has planted you in this church or adding you to the church, then you're embarking on this great journey with us of obedience and ministry. The Apostle Peter said to Jesus, everyone is looking for something. Is that what the Apostle Peter said to Jesus? Well, we just talked about it. You could look at our world and say that about it. But the truth of the matter is Peter said, everyone's looking for what? For you. They may not know it yet, but they will soon. Peter said, everyone's looking for you. And so we have to remember that when we encounter people out there. Because brothers and sisters, they still are looking for him. And together, everybody say together. Together we can be used by the Lord to present Jesus in a way that will bring healing and change to the lives of those around us. So what is our vision? Why do we exist? To present Jesus. Everybody say, to present Jesus. That's our vision, is to present him to this world. Now, the vision that God has given us creates a mission. And every vision worth its salt will create a mission. When you know that you're supposed to present Jesus to people, then the question turns to how. How are we supposed to do that? How's that going to happen? Well, I want to share with you today what the Holy Spirit has shared with us and with me. And we've verified, we have sought the Word of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that Capstone is supposed to present Jesus through four primary goals. Four primary goals. Goal number one, we are to cultivate his presence. We said that we're called to present Jesus, correct? That means that we must have an attitude and a heart to cultivate his presence in every ministry, every gathering, and every meeting. Without his presence, it's not worth going to. It's not worth doing. It's not worth being a part of. Moses said about the Lord's presence, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't even send us up from here. Because his presence is what makes the difference. Look at Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, you make known to me the path of life. Remember, everybody's looking for something. They're looking for Jesus. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I believe, brothers and sisters, that when we get together this coming year and we begin to worship God as one and we begin to focus on cultivating his presence, I believe people are going to come in and they're going to begin to experience something that they didn't know they were going to experience. And they're going to begin to find treasures all over the floor. And I don't mean diamonds necessarily that materialize and drop to the ground, although I'm not against that if that wants to happen. But I'm looking for them to experience treasures in the Spirit. I'm looking for them to come in here and see treasures in these seats. And I believe God's going to break the sorrow off of them and give them joy. So this year, we're going to cultivate his presence in everything we do. If you're leading a ministry, I want you to seek God desperately over how his presence can be there at your meeting that you're having this year. The second goal of how we're going to present Jesus to this community is this one. We're going to circulate his story. We're going to circulate his story. How can you present Jesus unless they know about him? They hear about him, unless you're sharing it. We did the memorial yesterday for a brother that I used to work with in the ministry. One thing I can say about this brother is he was not ashamed to talk to people about the Lord. He was as imperfect as you and I. He could get himself in some of the biggest messes that I had ever seen as my friend. But one of the things that he would do, he talked to his neighbors, he talked to his co-workers. We had a co-worker of his that came up here and stood and said, I knew him on my job, he talked to me about the Lord on my job. And you know why he did it? It wasn't, oh my God, I've got a checklist. How many people do I need to talk to about the Lord? I've got this checklist. He did it because he was grateful for what Jesus had done. How can you accept such a great gift and not share it with other people? That's the way he felt. And that's what motivated him. He wanted everybody else to know what he knew and what he had experienced in God. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, and this is a church that was on fire with the power of the Spirit. It said day after day in the temple courts and from where? From house to house. They never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. How can Jesus be presented without circulation? And I don't mean in your body either. The third goal to presenting Jesus is this: we're going to cherish his family. Biblical love presents Jesus. And I don't mean... Well, let me back up and say this. There's something unusual about the family of God. Jesus told us that sinners can love those that love them. The church doesn't have a premium on love. It's not the only place love exists. Jesus said sinners can love those that love them. But the interesting thing about the church is the church loves those who don't love them. There's the big difference. The church can love its enemies. The church can love those who come against them. The church can love those who take from them, steal from them, hurt them in some form or fashion. Okay? And the reason that we can do that is because we're not under the control of any human. We're under the control of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People can do things to us, but they don't have to become a part of our identity or our destiny. We can be healed by our Christ. We can be touched by our Lord. And we can be ministered to in such a fullness that we can even find a way to love those who have hurt us, even when we don't trust them anymore. We can still love them. We can love them because we are free. Oh, him, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm what? I'm free. I'm free. That's the definition of real freedom. Freedom is not grace to go out and sin and then have a card you can check in at the end of the day. Here, God, grace, this grace card, you said you have to forgive me of all my sins if I repent. Liberty is stability to live a life free from the control of the flesh and of the Satan and of sin. I didn't say not affected, not touched. It's not going to leave your life, but we can live free from it, from its control. And brothers and sisters, if we don't love each other, there's a breakdown in our personal relationship with God. Can't blame it on the church. We can't blame it on somebody else. We got to start with ourselves and say, where's the breakdown? Where's the breakdown between me and God? Because there's an unceasing flow of love coming from His end. My dad's been sick, and the Lord really broke my heart last night because he's been sick and he's been fainting. There's a lot of things he's doing right now that I never thought I'd have to do with my father. Cleaning him up and doing things and stuff like that. And at first, there was a resistance on my part. And then as I laid down in my bed last night and got there and laid down, the Lord said, Parkey, he said, the roles are reversing. And he said, the same one that used to wash you and take care of you, now you're washing them and taking care of them. And he said, Parkey, honor comes before humility, or comes after humility. Honor comes after humility. And he said, honor's a tight crown and a big head can't wear it. Man, it just broke me. I was so sorry for my selfishness. You understand what I'm saying? I said, Lord, how did I get so hard? What happened? Please change me. That's the kind of cherish we want to have for one another. We want to love one another. Well, so-and-so's sick. Oh, well, you know. Lord, help me to do better. Everybody say, Lord, help me to do better. Now, so many of you just prayed that prayer for me. Now pray it for yourself. Lord, help me to do better. We're going to cherish His family. That's one of the ways we're going to present Jesus. And finally, the fourth thing is we're going to create His champions. We're going to create people that look and walk and talk and look like Jesus. Matthew 8, 28, 19 through 20, as I said, the Great Commission and Great Commandment's not going away. But it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We want to create people that are serious about observing all things that the Lord teaches us. Romans 8:37 says, no, and all these things were more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Romans 8:29 is one of my favorite scriptures. I didn't give this one. But right after it says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. We all know that one. There's an amazing scripture after that one in Romans 8:29, which talks about what our destiny is. How many of you are really wanting to know what God's called you to do? It's found in Romans 8:29. It's answered right there. That we have been predestined. I was shaped, formed, and birthed into this life to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Well, Pastor, that's kind of broad. Now tell me how that happened. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. If you'll take that direction right where you are and begin to apply it right where you are, it will affect everything around you, and God will lead you to the left, right, wherever you need to go. Amen. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Now, you could boil these four goals down to four biblical mandates. And this is the way we're going to remember what our mission is. Everybody ready to remember how we're going to get to the place where we can remember what the mission that God's given us? You could boil cultivating His presence down to worship. We're going to worship God in everything that we do. His presence is going to be palpable everywhere we go and everything we do. Worship. Everybody say worship.
Worship.
We're going to circulate His story. You could boil that down to the biblical mandate of outreach. We're going to reach out to people. We're going to cherish His family. You could boil that down to the biblical mandate of having godly relationships. Everybody say relationships. So we're all about worship. We're all about outreach. We're all about relationships. And creating His champions, you could boil down to the biblical mandate of discipleship. Everybody say discipleship. Discipleship means we're becoming more like Christ. All right. Now, if you look at these four words, what does worship begin with? W, what does outreach begin with? What does relationships begin with? What does discipleship begin with? D, what does that spell?
Word.
Now, I have on my hand on my arm, a nifty little bracelet that I had made, that Pastor Steve actually had made for me. And it has the mission right on here. W-O-R-D. Okay? Brothers and sisters, that's going to be our goal in everything going forward. And this is going to be our scripture. It's found on the other side of the bracelet, John 1:14. In John 1:14, it says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Brothers and sisters, as we live out this mission, we're going to behold His glory. We're going to see His glory. Jesus has done His part. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now it's our job. The baton's been passed to us. Now, in this flesh here is becoming Word. And that's what I want you to remember. I've got a bracelet for everybody in this room. When you leave here today, they're going to give you one. If you don't wear it, you can still be around here. Okay? You can take a picture of it and send it to all the people who couldn't be here today and go, I got something you weren't here. Relationships, you don't want to do that. Okay? But when you look at this, you're going to see worship, outreach, relationships, discipleship. That's our vision. That's our mission. It's our mission. And you're going to see what your personal mission is. Out of that corporate call to us, you're going to be able to look down and say, the Word's becoming flesh in me. The Word is living in this flesh, is what I'm trying to say. Is living in my flesh. My call is to become the Word walking around. I'm not like everybody else. I've got a mission. Okay? And so that's what God has shared with me for a period coming up as we walk forward. And as part of Capstone, you too will be a part of this, as I said. It's awesome. I'm excited not just about my place in this vision, I'm excited about your place in it. I can't wait to see what God does with you within this. And if we work together, we can see God bring a spiritual awakening in our area. But guess where the spiritual awakening is going to start? Here. It has to start here. It has to. So how many of you say, I'm a candidate to be living in the flesh, but Word, living in me, a living epistle, known and read by all men? All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so very much for vision and mission. I want to give you praise and honor and thanks. I pray, Lord, that you will help us all to keep in step with you, and that we will follow you and be transformed by you and be obedient to you, and we'll find joy in that obedience. And God, I want to pray for anybody who's here today that doesn't know Jesus. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to talk you to death because I don't have to. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, he's not your king and your Lord, then you know what? I want to give you an opportunity to become his child right now today. If you don't know the Lord, he's not first place in your life, then just lift your hand right now. Just to say, Pastor, that's me you're talking to. All right, you don't know what I'm going to do, so don't try to create a scenario in your mind about what I'm going to do with that. I just want to see who I'm going to pray for. Got to lift it up high enough where I can see it. Anybody? Okay, I see you. Anybody else? All right. Let's pray. Father, through the witness of the Holy Spirit and the power that's in your name, you call people to yourself. No man can call people to God. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. So God, in response to the Spirit, I pray for those that have their hand lifted, and I'm asking you, as they ask you to come into their life and forgive them of their sins, I'm asking you that you will jolt their life with the reality of the Holy Spirit of God, that you would wash them free of every sin, and that you would fill them with the joy of your presence and the anticipation of walking with you every single day and the excitement that that provides. Touch them. Incorporate them. And I give you praise for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.